Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. Hope wherever you are and wherever you are listening, you are having a great start to your Wednesday. It is Wednesday, June 2nd, and it's another Grizzlies game day. But this time, the stakes could not be higher. It's elimination day for the Grizzlies. Though they've given valiant efforts over the past three games, the Grizzlies do find themselves down 3-1 in this opening round playoff series against the Utah Jazz. However, the Grizzlies, in recent past, just a few weeks ago, faced elimination two straight games on a Wednesday and a Friday and won both those games. Tonight, hopefully they'll be able to tap into that experience and improve upon what they did in the grindhouse in games 3 and 4 to put together one of their best games of the year to extend their season past tonight. Obviously, many things to talk about leading up to that. In the first segment, we're going to talk about Ja Morant, how he compares to his peers in the NBA playoffs this season, and how his performance, in my opinion, has changed the overall narrative of his sophomore season. In the second segment, we'll do the same thing for Taylor Jenkins. How has he fared and possibly improved in his ability to add value as a coach in his first experience in the playoffs? And in the third segment, we'll highlight a few things from games 3 and 4 that if the Grizzlies can expand over longer stretches of the game or combine in game 5, it'll certainly put them in a good position to win. My name's Sean Coleman. You can find me at StatsSAC on Twitter. Find the show at Locked On Grizz on Twitter as well. I've been covering the Grizzlies for nearly 3 years over at Grizzly Bear Blues, the great group that's over there providing you great Grizzlies coverage. I'm a credentialed media member, and I also have been your host here at Locked On Grizzlies for over a year. The one place that gives you the latest Grizzlies news, perspectives, insight, and honest truth every single day. Your Grizzlies every day here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. And you can find the show anywhere that you listen to your podcast. We ask that you listen, review, subscribe. Let us know what you think of the show. We always want to make sure we're providing content that is relevant to our listeners' preferences. And we want to remind you of our show sponsor, the Locker Room app, changing the way we talk about sports. Go to your Android or iOS app store, download the Locker Room app, create a free profile, and every Thursday night at 8, for instance, join us for Let's Talk Grizzlies, the enhanced version of Locked On Grizzlies that allows for us to talk voice-to-voice, allows for me and others who cover the Grizzlies to talk with fans about all things Grizzlies. This Thursday night at 8, we'll be hosting the show like normal. Hopefully, it'll be talking about revving up for Game 6 after a Game 5 victory. But obviously, the biggest reason why the Grizzlies are even in this position to begin with has been the recent play of Ja Morant. If you go back 2 weeks ago, if you go back two Wednesdays ago, the Grizzlies were getting ready for their first play-in game against the San Antonio Spurs. They won that game, but it was mainly due to the efforts of Jonas Valanciunas and Dylan Brooks, who both have been absolutely phenomenal in their own right since the season has ended, and for much of the season overall. But on that Friday, where the Grizzlies played the Warriors, I had mentioned that my hope for the game, win or lose, because the Grizzlies were rightfully underdogs, my hope for the game was that Ja Morant would step up and deliver as being the franchise player for the Grizzlies and the best player on this roster. He would step up and have the game of his life on the biggest stage of his life, just like he had done during his rookie year against the Trailblazers in that playing game in the bubble. And that's exactly what he did. 35 points, 5 threes, every bit of it was needed, but he stepped up and at times was the best player on the court and delivered the Grizzlies a victory. And what has he done in the playoffs since then? The exact same thing. Game 1, 31 points that delivered the Grizzlies their first playoff victory in over 4 years. Game 2, the single best offensive performance that a Grizzlies player has ever produced in a game. A franchise record 47 points in Game 2, in Game 3, 28 more points, and then even in Game 4, where arguably the best defense in the NBA, after having faced him 3 times in less than a week, and overall 6 total times in 2 months, when the best defense in the league arguably made it clear they were not going to let Ja Morant beat them. Ja did struggle scoring, but he also dished out 12 assists, showing that there are multiple ways where he can highly impact a game and be a direct source of 50 or so points any given night to put this Grizzlies team on his back and put them in position to at least have a chance to win, despite whoever they play in the NBA. With Ja Morant playing like this, this Grizzlies team can compete with anybody in the NBA any given night. And he has consistently delivered this version of himself every single night that he's played since that game against the Warriors, and the Grizzlies earned the right to make the playoffs. And the thing is that his numbers are absolutely impressive, not just in terms of looking at them by themselves, but also compared to his playoff peers. With everybody having played four games, everybody in the NBA playoffs having four games so far this year, Ja Morant is fourth among players in the NBA playoffs in scoring with 31 points per game. He's shooting 48% from the field, 57.1 shooting percentage, and is averaging 7.5 assists per game. Yes, he also is third in the NBA in field goal attempts. But the fact is that he's averaging 23 field goal attempts per night and is converting that into 31 points, which is highly effective, especially for a Grizzlies team that has to have that type of scoring on any given night against this Jazz team with how good Utah is. Ja Morant and Damian Lillard are the only two players so far in this first round of the playoffs who are averaging 30-plus points and 7.5-plus assists per game. That's the type of company that Ja Morant is in right now when it comes to his production. But the thing about it is this, is that if on the surface you want to describe Ja Morant's season as being a season that, yes, was successful, but also had clear weaknesses emerge in terms of his shooting and his defense, on the surface, the playoffs are allowing for you to continue that narrative. He certainly has not been consistently productive. There have been long stretches where he's been a liability on defense against the Jazz, and he's also shooting just 22% from three. So those narratives certainly are there for you if you want that to be the way that you describe his season. But folks were looking at Ja Morant before the Grizzlies legitimately had this chance at the playoffs. They were looking at those weaknesses as being reasons why Ja Morant was not at an all-star level. He was not considered to be a potential all-star in terms of this version of himself until he improved those areas of his game. The one thing that these playoffs have changed about the narrative of Ja Morant is that he doesn't need to be able to shoot the ball consistently from three at 40% or to be a, you know, above average defender for him to play at an all-star level. We saw it in the bubble last year at times. We saw it before he injured his ankle at the first of this season. We've saw it against good competition in the second half of the season. And now we're seeing it at its best on the biggest stage of his career in the playoffs. This version of Ja Morant, with the shot being the struggle that it is and the defense being where it is, this version of Ja Morant is an all-star if it's consistently reached. And now we're seeing proof that it can be. Because Ja continues to improve the ability to increase the quality of the strengths of his game right now. For instance, during the season, Ja Morant in the restricted area per game would attempt 5.8 shots per game, making 3.5 of them at a 60% clip. Basically, he would try 6 shots at the rim per game, make 3.5 of them, and shoot 60% at the rim during the regular season. In the playoffs, against arguably the best defense in the NBA and the best post defender in the NBA, Rudy Gobert, who's about to become a 3-time All-NBA, or excuse me, 3-time Defensive Player of the Year, Ja Morant on nearly 7 attempts per game at the rim is making just under 5 attempts per game at a 70% clip. He significantly improved his production at the rim, though he's taking more shots and it's coming against a higher quality defense. But it's not just at the rim, it's in the paint as well. In the regular season, Ja Morant averaged 4.7 shots in the paint outside the restricted area, making just under 2 of those attempts per game for a 38.2% clip. This is basically his ability to hit his floater. In the playoffs, Ja is averaging nearly 9 shots per game. He leads the NBA in paint shot attempts outside the restricted area per game, making 4.3% of them at a 47.2% clip. So Ja is actually improving his ability to produce in the paint on a stage where he is consistently facing one of the best interior defenses in the NBA against the best post defender on the planet in Rudy Gobert. Ja has stepped up his game and has actually improved the quality of it, despite the fact that he's facing tougher competition that should actually be limiting him. And the thing is that he's not doing this against other players, besides Rudy Gobert. In this series, Ja Morant is 10 of 20 on his field goal attempts per Rudy Gobert. Basically, he's making 2.5 shots per game on 5 attempts when Rudy Gobert is the primary defender against him. He's made 10 of 20 shot attempts and 9 of 10 free throw attempts. So in 20 field goal attempts, Ja Morant has produced 29 points. That's nearly 1.5 points per possession when he has gone one-on-one with Rudy Gobert as his primary defender. That is exceptional production. So the reason why the narrative has changed of Ja Morant's sophomore season versus what it was as the season was ending is that, yes, his shot and his defense are clear weaknesses in his game that are works in progress. But he also has shown the tools from his second half of the season when he became a more impactful defender and a better shooter. He has the tools to significantly improve in those areas. But even with those being weaknesses of his game, they're not preventing Ja from being effective. They're not preventing Ja from being at an all-star level. Ja, as he is an all-star level player, and he's playing like it. He's playing like a top 10 player in the NBA playoffs right now. Ja himself right now is an all-star level player. If he were to improve his shot and his defense, then you're seeing an all-star level player in the future, perhaps become an all-NBA type talent, and maybe even an MVP candidate in time. That's how the narrative has changed. His weaknesses remain, but the impact of the type of player that he is continues to grow, and it's been at its best against the best competition on the biggest stage that Ja Morant has faced in his career. And that's why it's been so impressive and why the Grizzlies will need it once again tonight in order to stave off elimination. But it's not just Ja Morant who's going to have to perform at a high level, obviously. It's going to have to take Taylor Jenkins continuing to trust his instinct, trust his knowledge, trust his overall, just in general, trust his gut with his rotation decisions and play calling in order to put the Grizzlies into a position to win. Believe it or not, Taylor Jenkins has done that more often than not this playoff series. We'll look a bit more into that when we come back to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Imagine that I speak for the majority, if not all, of sports fans when I can say that we're always looking for ways to enhance our enjoyment as a sports fan. Well, one way that I can tell you that I feel can guarantee you will enhance your enjoyment of being a sports fan is the Locker Room app. The Locker Room app, social media, social audio app that allows for a platform that allows for you as a fan to connect with fans all around the world to enhance your knowledge, enhance your enjoyment, enhance your overall experience of enjoying the sports that you love. Go to the Android store or the iOS store, download the Locker Room app, create your free profile, and then get right into the action when it comes to chatting. You can chat with other fans of the teams that you love. Chat with folks who are knowledgeable about sports that you want to know more about. If you're an aspiring content creator, it's a great way to network to expand your horizon and your opportunities. I myself have benefited from that. Several of the guests that I've had on the show this year and several of the folks that I've gotten to know who have expanded my opportunities have come from the relationships I've formed through the Locker Room app. You even have the opportunity to talk with some of your favorite sports personalities and athletes on a regular basis through the app. And don't forget, every Thursday night at 8, Let's Talk Grizzness, the weekly Locked On Grizzlies enhanced show that allows for you to talk to me and other folks who cover the Grizzlies about all things Grizzlies, including, obviously, this current playoff series. The Locker Room app, changing the way we talk about sports. Download it today and make your experience as a fan better than it was before. The summer is almost here, and I imagine that if you're not already doing it, in time, you probably will soon be traveling more often. But of course, if you're going to be traveling more often, you want your car to be in the best shape it possibly can be in terms of operating. And that may mean that there are car repairs that need to be done. If you need car parts, RockAuto.com is the best place for you for a variety of reasons. Number one, it allows for you to be able to find what you need very quickly because it's very easy to use. And you're likely going to find what you need regardless of the make and model or the specific part. If you're someone like me who needs others to do your repairs, if you do your own repairs or do repairs for others for a living, RockAuto.com is great because it's a family-owned business. They know that car parts typically fall out of budget, so they try to keep things as economically feasible as possible. When you go to the Locker Room app, let them know that the Locked On Podcast Network sent you. RockAuto.com, amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the car parts that you will ever need. Visit RockAuto.com today. Today on the road to the finals, our NBA playoffs coverage is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. And at 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, we can all enjoy the games a little bit more this season. So in the first segment, we obviously talk about how Ja Morant has changed the narrative of what his sophomore season has been. He clearly has taken a significant step forward in terms of the impact that he has as a player, as a franchise cornerstone, and as a leader, as someone that can consistently, through different means, through different avenues, who can consistently lead the roster that he is a part of to much higher than expected results when it comes to their success. But it's not just Ja Morant who has stepped up. We've talked about the players that have stepped up as well. Dylan Brooks becoming more consistent. Obviously, DeAnthony Melton in Game 4, and Grayson Allen in Game 3. Those different shooting surges have certainly made an impact. But another person that's made an impact and who has clearly improved in terms of his ability to add value is Coach Taylor Jenkins. And there's been several instances of it this playoff series, several instances in which Taylor Jenkins, who at times probably can be a bit too loyal to roster rotations, players, or, you know, trends that he's bought into, he's shown an improved and at times effective ability to change around what he feels is going to work, to adapt on the fly to give the Grizzlies the best chance to win. Think about it. In Game 1, Taylor Jenkins knew without Donovan Mitchell that the Grizzlies' likely advantage was going to be in the starting lineups instead of the reserve units. So what did he do? He knew how well his starting lineup had done all season long, especially the quartet of Ja, Dylan, Kyle Anderson, and Jonas Valanciunas, and he played them 28 minutes in that first game. And they had a 22 net rating, and they were the difference that the Grizzlies won the game. Once Donovan Mitchell came back, Taylor Jenkins knew that his roster was not going to be as talented. He knew that he was going to have to adjust his strategy game by game to find the right mixture that would hopefully put the Grizzlies in the that would give the Grizzlies their best chance to win. And he would have to adjust his style because the Jazz would adjust their way of doing things. So what did he do? Game 2, he recognized that Ja Morant was on what it was absolutely in the zone. And he played Ja to the full extent that he could. And he gave the Grizzlies a chance to win through Ja having the best individual offensive performance the Grizzlies franchise has ever seen. But Coach Jenkins made the decision to feature Ja, and it at least gave the Grizzlies a chance to win. In Game 3, Coach Jenkins knew that the Grizzlies were going to have to shoot the three more. So he dialed up the three-point opportunities. Jaren shot more threes. Desmond Bane, Grayson Allen, and others shot more threes. And though the Grizzlies struggled to start the game, they eventually got into a rhythm and they were able to find success because of the fact that they started the second half with good rebounding and producing in the paint that opened up the three-point line. And you saw Grayson Allen almost single-handedly put these Grizzlies in position to once again make a comeback and nearly pull off a Game 3 victory. Well, from that, Coach Jenkins, after the Game 3 loss, his clear focus was on the fact that the Grizzlies cannot afford to have another slow start. So what did he do? He put more effort and creativity into the offensive schemes that the Grizzlies displayed. You saw it from the first play of the game on that alley-oop to Jaren Jackson Jr. that not only was a beautifully designed play, but was an energy source. It was a hype source that got some fuel into this Grizzlies offense. And it led to them having arguably the best fourth quarter they had had the whole playoff series. He also went with the hot hand of subbing Grayson Allen in as the first shooter, or the first sub, instead of Desmond Bane, but then came right back with Desmond Bane because Coach Jenkins knew that the defenses were not being highly effective this playoff series. So he was going to have to make decisions that featured the offense, that put the Grizzlies in the best position to have as consistent of a high-level offense as possible. And it made a huge difference because it led to Grayson making an early three, it led to Desmond Bane making an early three, and Jaren making an early three. And then he stuck with that philosophy. He was able in the second quarter of game four to keep the Grizzlies in the game despite Dylan Brooks sitting the last 6 minutes of the second quarter in foul trouble. He then had to once again prioritize offense over defense when he switched Dylan onto Bojan Bogdanović, put Grayson on Donovan Mitchell. Coach Jenkins knew the likely outcome was going to be the Utah Jazz finding that weakness and expose it, and that's exactly what they did. But through doing that, it at least allowed for Coach Jenkins to keep shooting on the floor with Grayson and either De'Anthony Melton or Jaren or Desmond Bane, but it also allowed for him to keep Dylan Brooks on the floor, and Brooks was able to stay the Grizzlies' best scorer for much of that third quarter to at least keep them within striking distance. And then that set up De'Anthony Melton in the fourth quarter to have another shooting surge like Grayson had in Game 3 that again put the Grizzlies in place to win. But another key decision, another key growth area. You know, Coach Jenkins constantly talks about growth areas for the roster. A growth area for him was that challenge early in the fourth quarter of last night's game where he challenged that three-point foul that was called on Dylan Brooks as Donovan Mitchell was attempting the three. Now, the challenge was not successful, but there have been so many times through the first 2 years of Coach Jenkins being the coach where at the very least it made sense to at least try to challenge, to at least give the Grizzlies a chance to prevent a momentum-shifting play going against them. And though it didn't work out, it at least showed that Jenkins realized that. And in my opinion, the challenge was smart. You definitely do challenge there no matter what. I think the challenge should have gone through. Unfortunately, it didn't. But at least Coach Jenkins took the opportunity to calm down whatever momentum was going to come from that, challenge the call to at least give it the chance to be reversed, and prepare his young roster to do what it needed to do to get back in the game. And though that challenge did not work, what happened over the next 3 to 5 minutes? De'Anthony Melton went off. The Grizzlies got to within 2 points. Despite the challenge itself not working, Coach Jenkins still took still allowed for that instance to be a clear positive because he slowed down the momentum of whatever was coming from it and made the most of getting his young roster in place to fight back and at least have a chance to win. And that's the thing about it, is that Coach Jenkins, yes, his rotations at times may be questionable. Yes, I do feel that at times the offense stands around too much. Yes, there has not been many effective calls defensively, but that goes both ways. The Jazz have not played good defense consistently either. But you do see that Coach Jenkins is at least improving on his defensive formations by how well the Grizzlies did on preventing the ball from getting to Rudy Gobert in the second half. And the fact that the Grizzlies were able to, in the fourth quarter of yesterday's game, get enough stops in that fourth quarter to stop Utah's offense, limit them to only 20 points in the fourth quarter, to at least give the Grizzlies the chance to at least have a chance at victory. There's nothing that Coach Jenkins or the roster can do when it comes down to the simple fact that this Utah team is significantly talented, significantly more talented than the Grizzlies. But you have to tip your cap to Taylor Jenkins and that he is consistently trying to find ways to at least put this Grizzlies team in a position to have a chance to win the game. And more often than not, while his decisions may not necessarily be overwhelmingly right, they at least are somewhat effective. And that has added to the Grizzlies' ability to remain competitive in this series, despite the fact that many stat indicators show the Jazz should be overwhelmingly winning these games. Coach Jenkins is adding value, and he's doing it consistently each game. As this roster is improving, as they're being able to put together a full 48 minutes of effective play, Coach Jenkins is continuing to put together a full 48 minutes of effective coaching. And that's allowing for his roster to be in a position to produce. It's giving them the confidence to know that they can deliver on this stage. And it's allowing for this Grizzlies team to find multiple ways in which they can remain competitive despite being at a severe disadvantage when it comes to talent. So the great play of Ja Morant and the effective, more often than not, coaching of Taylor Jenkins has certainly allowed for this Grizzlies team to be in a position to win games 2, 3, and 4. But despite those efforts, they've lost, and now they're facing elimination. Coming up, we're going to look at a few areas by combining what the Grizzlies did well in Game 3 and Game 4. Some areas where they're really going to have to focus on making sure they can put it all together as well as they possibly can to play a nearly flawless game to extend their season tonight in Utah. To all of the first round series in this year's NBA playoffs should be coming to an end this week. The NHL playoffs is already in the second round. And baseball season is now 2 months into its season. So whatever sports you love and wherever athletes you cheer for, several opportunities are out there to be able to enjoy it. If wagering and betting on sports is another way that enhances your fandom, I've got the one place that has you covered, and that's BetOnline.ag. BetOnline.ag, the fastest and easiest way for you to be able to enjoy all of your wagering and betting sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting news, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks experts. Again, head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and put in the promo code LOCKEDON to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. So going into Game 4 in Memphis off of Game 3, the big thing that we had talked about, we talked about it extensively on Monday. The big thing that we had talked about was that the Grizzlies needed to start the game and end the game better. Well, in Game 4, they certainly started the game better. Between Games 2 and Game 3, the Jazz had a plus 21 score differential when you combine the scores of Game 2 and Game 3. But they only were up 3 at the end of the first quarter in Game 4 because of the fact that the Grizzlies were able to get off to a better start. They were able to find balance scored in the paint. They were able to come off of that by making big energy type plays, dunks from Jaren, dunks from Dylan, things such as that. All those things allowed for the Grizzlies to be able to get off to a great start. But the Jazz also got off to a great start. And so the Grizzlies are definitely, so one thing about Game 5, from what they did in Game 3 and Game 4, that the Grizzlies are going to have to do is they're going to have to get off to another good start. There's no choice. They're going to have to get off to a better start. Another thing that really would give the Grizzlies a chance to be able to win this game is the continued production from Jaren Jackson Jr. 21 points on 9 of 18 shooting on offense. Limited the players that went 1-on-1 against him. When he was the primary defender against the Jazz, he limited the Jazz to 2 of 10. From the field in Game 4. Beyond getting off to a hot start, the second thing the Grizzlies are going to need is they're going to need another impressive game from Jaren Jackson Jr. Especially if he can make some early threes. Because that's the third thing that this Grizzlies team is really going to need. They've had these shooting surges in Game 3 from Grayson Allen early in the fourth quarter and in Game 4 from De'Anthony Melton early in the fourth quarter. What the Grizzlies really need to do, what they really need to have happen in these games, besides getting off to a hot start and Jaren continuing his good play from game four, is they need a shooting surge in both the first half and the second half. Maybe it's from Grayson in the first half and Dylan from the second half, or from Bane in the first half and Dylan Melton from the second half. I don't care who it's from. But they need these surges where one player makes two or three threes over a 3 to 5 minute stretch to really keep the offense consistent. They need that once again in the fourth quarter in game five in the second half, but they also could use it at the start of the second quarter in the first half. So multiple shooting surges would really help out the Grizzlies' cause in terms of their ability to find a way to win game five. Another development from game four, despite the fact that the Jazz once again scored 120 points, is that the Grizzlies did limit them to 25 points in the second quarter and 20 points in the fourth quarter. That's a good development for this Grizzlies team. Yes, the Jazz did score 41 in the third, and they scored 34 in the first quarter. So they still had, between two quarters, 75 combined points. But if the Grizzlies can keep the Jazz below 30 points in at least three quarters in Game 5, that will really play to their advantage, especially in the second half once the Grizzlies' offense has made their needed adjustments. Good second half defense, good second half adjustments like they made in the fourth quarter of Game 4 will be huge for this Grizzlies team to then have the offense, to have enough of the offense they need to win the game. And along with that defense, it's finding the confidence in having the schemes and strategies that they need to pull off successful offensive strategies in the last few minutes of the game. The same creativity, the same energy-type plays that Coach Jenkins drew up to start the game in Game 4, he needs to be that creative and that effective with his decision-making when it comes to setting up offensive sets for his team at the end of Game 5. The Grizzlies have been right there at the start of the fourth quarter, or at least sometime in the fourth quarter for the past three games. But the Jazz have just been so much more offensively effective that at the end of the day, the Grizzlies just did not have a chance because over the past two games in Memphis, over the final 4.5 minutes of both game four or game three and game four, when you combine the points and the stats and all that together, the Jazz outscored the Grizzlies 25-9 in crunch time between game three and game four. And in those two games combined, in the final 4.5 minutes of each game combined, the Grizzlies were 1 of 15 from the field. That's not going to get it done against this Jazz offense. So Coach Jenkins, the same way that he added value, the same way that he adjusted to create offensive success at the beginning of Game 4, he's going to have to put that same effective creativity to pen and paper or marker and whiteboard or whatever you want to call it. He's going to have to put that into effect at the end of Game 5. And of course, Ja Morant being, you know, his effective self, whether it be scoring or passing, Dylan Brooks being an effective defender, staying out of foul trouble, I've listed 9 or 10 things. And the reason why I've listed 9 or 10 things is that is basically what the Grizzlies are going to have go their way to likely win this game. Of course, the one thing that I haven't mentioned that would help out all of these causes is the Grizzlies finding some way to keep the Jazz from making more than 15 threes and shooting better than 40% in the process. But if the Grizzlies can at least do the five main things that I mentioned, get off to a good start, have Jaren Jackson Jr. continue his success from Game 4 and have another big game in Game 5, get a shooting surge from the bench, from whomever needs to step up off the bench as a shooter in both the first and second half to not only allow for the bench units to be productive, but also allow the Grizzlies to have success from three. Have better defensive production in Game 5 by at least keeping the Jazz to 30 points or less in three or more quarters. And more creative and effective play calling late in the game. If the Grizzlies can do those five things well, If they improve in those areas between what they did in Memphis to game five and they still lose, there's nothing you could have done. You once again made the Jazz play to their best level, and that best level is a talent level that the Grizzlies just cannot match right now. But those are the adjustments. Those are the things that the Grizzlies need to do in order to win game five. Do I expect for them to be able to do all of them? No. It's hard to do. I am asking the Grizzlies to play a nearly flawless game in a situation where they're playing the best team in the NBA for the fifth time in 10 days. I'm asking for nearly the impossible. But the Grizzlies have all season done well when the odds were stacked against them. Do I know if they're going to win this game? It's probably not likely. They're underdogs for a reason, and big underdogs at that. But am I confident that this Grizzlies team is going to once again make this game competitive? And would I be surprised if they pulled off a victory to once again have a playoff game come back to the grindhouse? Hell no. That's what's so special about this team. So yes, there's multiple boxes that have to be checked. There's several things that have to be done for this Grizzlies team to get a win in these unlikely circumstances. But I'm highly confident they're going to at least give it their best chance. I'm highly confident that once again, the Grizzlies are going to be able to arrive and play well. I myself don't bet. That's just not something that I usually do. And if I were a betting man, would I bet the Grizzlies to win this game straight up? Probably not. Probably not. But as an honest man, I can tell you that if I would bet, I would put big money on the Grizzlies likely covering and once again, at least giving themselves a chance to win halfway through the fourth quarter like we've seen them do over the past two games. I don't think this is going to be a blowout. I think that the Jazz at some point are going to run into a cold stretch shooting the three. Because while the Grizzlies have faced the Jazz five straight games, the Jazz have also faced the Grizzlies, faced the Grizzlies five straight games as well once they tip tonight. And I think Taylor Jenkins has something up his sleeve to at least try to limit for a few minutes the Jazz's ability to shoot the three. To at least get a stretch of play where the Jazz don't have a three to counter everything that the Grizzlies do. And if the Grizzlies can get that stretch, I think they'll make the most of it. So again, if I were a betting man, I can say with confidence, I do feel this Grizzlies team will once again be competitive. And somewhere in that fourth quarter of Game 5 tonight, I think they'll have their chance to win this game. It's going to have to take them being uncharacteristically productive late in the game, though, to take advantage of that and get the win that they must have in order to extend the season. Regardless, it's going to be a fun night. Again, right now this season, the Grizzlies have significantly more experience than any other team when it comes to performing well in elimination games. They're just going to have to do something that they did twice 2 weeks ago once again. And if they do it, they award themselves with another playoff game at the Grindhouse. It's going to be a lot of fun to see what they can do, and I think they're going to rise to the occasion and at least give themselves a chance to win in the end. Again, you can find the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at Stats SAC. My name is Sean Coleman. It's once again been a pleasure bringing you another edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Enjoy tonight's game. Go Grizzlies. Hopefully for tomorrow's episode, we'll be able to talk about Game 6. And of course, on Thursday night on the Locker Room app through Let's Talk Grizzlies, we'll have another opportunity to continue talking about how successful this season has been. But even if we don't have that ability, it's going to be a lot of fun tomorrow talking about all the success that this Grizzlies team has had, despite no one expecting them to make it this far, and no one expecting them to really have a shot in this game. I think plenty of people are going to be surprised. Hope you have a great Wednesday. Enjoy the game tonight. Go Grizzlies. We'll talk to you again soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.